Welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. This podcast is to highlight the life and ministry of Asian American leaders and to network them for advancing God's kingdom in North Carolina and beyond. Today, we have Thai Misamphan as a guest. Thai is the lead pastor of International Community Church in Nashville, Tennessee. Hello, Pastor Thai. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you so much, Thai, and I'm so thankful that you are helping us with this podcast. And this is our first episode, and we want to get to know you personally. So my first question for you is your family. So can you tell us about your family?
Yeah. So I'm married to my beautiful bride, Angie, and we've been married coming up 10 years next month, and we have a 19-month-old daughter. Her name is Eden. And so we just started now, and it's just the three of us. But Lord willing, we'll hopefully grow and have a few more.
That sounds great. By the way, Thai, how do I pronounce your last name correctly?
It's pronounced Misamphan.
Misamphan. All right. So am I doing well?
The last syllable is, that H is silent. So it's
Misamphan.
Uh-huh.
All right. I'll do my best. Okay. So how did you become a follower of Christ?
Yeah, so when my family first came to the U.S., we were Buddhists. So, my family's Buddhist background. But when we came to the U.S., we were welcomed by a local church. And it was through the ministry of that local church and really the volunteers that worked with my family to help us resettle that my parents first became followers of Christ, and they left Buddhism, and they saw in Christianity the unconditional love of God through the people that were serving them. And so they didn't see that in Buddhism, and so that's what drew them to Christianity. And so my parents first became followers of Christ and began to take us to a local church. And there's seven kids in our family, so we're a family of nine growing up. And as we began to go to that church, it was a Lao refugee ministry of Lighthouse Baptist Church right outside of Nashville. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we began to go to church. And for me personally, it was when I was at the age of 13, I had been going to that church for a little while, and but just going to church and never really, surrendering my life to Christ. But it was the age of 13 during the summer. We went to a summer camp that was called All Nations Camp, that's run by the Tennessee Baptist Convention, and it was a camp for really the ethnic kids of the different ethnic churches in the state of Tennessee. And it was at that camp that I surrendered my life to Christ, realized my need for a savior. I knew that I'd been going to church and I'd heard these stories, several times, but for the first time it made sense to me, and God really drew me to himself. And so I gave my life to him at the age of 13 and became a follower of Christ since.
Wow, that's great. So Thai, were you born in Laos?
I was born in central Laos in a small village, and my family fled the country when I was less than a year old, and so we fled to Thailand, where we lived for about 2 years in a refugee camp. And by the time my family made the journey to the U.S., I was 4 years old. So I was born in Laos, but grew up mostly in the U.S.
Okay. So you can speak English and also you can speak Laos?
Yeah, that's right. So my parents, having come to the U.S. at a much later stage in their life, really mostly speak Laos. So we spoke Lao in the home. I grew up speaking Lao, with my parents. So Obviously, I would learn English pretty easily in the schools, but I'm very thankful that, you know, I've retained the language because, you know, I have to at home. So,
all right, that's great. Now, how did you sense God's calling?
Yeah, so growing up, we were pretty active in our youth group at church. And then when I was in high school, the local FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, recruited me to come on leadership with FCA. And I agreed to do it. Just, I don't know what kind of led me to that, but I said, yeah, sure, I'll be a part of that. And so they sent me to like a leadership camp. And so it was the summer of my sophomore year that I went to that leadership camp and didn't know that that was where God would really grip my heart to serve him. But it was there. I was 16 years old, and it was one of the nights during worship, as I was praying and worshiping, the Holy Spirit just really spoke to my heart and called me into ministry and said, this is, you know, God was really speaking and saying, you know, I want you to serve me, you know, the rest of your life. And so, yeah, it was at that age, about 16 years old, at that leadership camp, that I sensed God's calling to serve him.
Wow, that's great. Now, do you have any life verse?
Yeah, so a verse that is really important to me is Proverbs 3:5-6. You know, trust him in the Lord with all your heart and lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. For me, that's always been something that I've tried to keep at the forefront of my mind. You know, just sort of this idea that, you know, God is my ultimate guide in all of my decisions. And, you know, that if I'm going to live a life that's pleasing to him and according to his will, that I need to trust in him and not on myself. And I've seen, you know, that I've seen God use that verse over and over in my life, especially at different junctures where I had to make some tough decisions or, you know, just fork in the roads in my life. God's always brought that back to my heart and to my mind. And he's proven himself over and over, you know, that I, if I would trust in him, that he would guide me in the right way and would ultimately bring, you know, the ultimate joy in my life as I trust in him. So, yeah.
Amen. Wow, that's great. It's definitely encouraging me as well. Who is the biggest influence in your life?
Yeah, as far as personally, I would say that my parents have always been very important, you know, influences in my life. As they first became followers of Christ, I got to see them lead by example and in many ways. Spiritually, I remember just in the early years when they first became followers of Christ, and even till now, I would sometimes as a kid walk into my mom's room at night to, you know, just to go get something I need or whatever, and I would often see her, you know, kneeling on her bed, you know, praying for the family, or I would see my parents with their Bibles open, you know, in their room reading. And so that had always left a lasting impact on my life, and they would always talk to us about the Lord and just, you know, doing their best to try to raise us up in the ways of the Lord. And so that has left a lasting impact, I think, on me, not just as a person, but also in my spiritual growth as well. My older sister is another person. You know, we have a long range of age in our, because there's seven of us, there's about a 20-year gap between, you know, between us.
Wow.
So my older sister was one of the first people that I saw that not only loved the Lord, but had a desire to serve him in ministry. She went to Union and studied youth ministry and came back from college and began to lead our youth ministry at our church. So early on, she was the one that taught the Bible studies in our youth group, led our youth group, and so she really helped me to grow in my faith and have a heart for the nations and things like that. And so she was the first in our family to go overseas for a mission trip and things like that. And so definitely a huge influence in my life.
Oh, wow, that's great. Well, I looked at your profile and then I saw that you have a doctoral degree. Can you share mm-hmm. a little bit about your educational background?
Yeah, so I went to Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary in Memphis and got my MDiv, and then went on to do my doctorate in missions, where I focused on diaspora missiology, essentially, you know, the intersection of migration and missions. As I thought about my own life story, you know, having my family having migrated from Laos and coming here as refugees, and then, you know, with the years of ministry experience working with refugee people and just people in diaspora in general, I wanted to really study a field that was relevant to my ministry situation. And also it was just, you know, very interesting to me how missions is changing as a result of migration. And so, yeah, so that was sort of the focus of my study. I did a case study on the Lao diaspora and how the Lao diaspora can be strategic in Great Commission work to not only to Laos, but also, you know, overall globally.
Wow, that's awesome, because I have a similar vision that I really want to see how God can use diaspora for his kingdom yeah. work. So in the next episode, yeah. I would love to hear more about your current ministry and your future vision for Asian Americans, diaspora, minority, for God's glory. Now, I've done this podcast with other Asian American leaders, and then I ask their personal experience growing up as Asian American, Korean Americans, Vietnamese Americans. You know, they all have a similar but also different unique experience. So sure, I want to ask you, how was your life growing as Laotian American in the United States?
Yeah, I think because I came at such a young age, you know, at first, I really didn't notice, you know, when you're a kid, you don't notice that much that you're different, other than the fact that, well, for one, I was in ESL for a couple of years. You know, I would be taken out of the classroom and go to ESL. I was frustrated at the beginning because I didn't know the language. I couldn't really understand what the teachers were saying. And so I did poorly in school in the first, you know, 2 years of my elementary education. And then I finally got a good grasp of the language and began to do better in school. And as we grew up, you know, the Southeast Asian experience, I feel like it's one of the major differences than the kind of the East Asian experience is that a lot of Southeast Asians, when we came as refugees, many of our communities were in low-income communities, in urban settings. And so one of the things that I felt like plagued our community was gangs. And so when I was growing up in my middle school years, I saw that a lot of my friends were getting into gangs, you know, being put in prison and getting into criminal activity and things like that. And I felt like I was sort of, you know, going towards that direction until I got involved in sports in school. And so I really believe that the Lord used sports to help kind of steer me away from that. And so got involved in sports and kind of kept me away from trouble. But growing up, you know, I saw a lot of my friends going the wrong way. And so it was really around that time when I became a believer and I was seeing some of the things that was happening to my friends that God even used that to give me a heart for the lost and for people who were, you know, making the wrong life decisions and things like that. But yeah, so, you know, grew up, you know, bicultural, as I mentioned earlier, you know, speaking Lao and eating Lao food and being a part of a Lao church, you know, at home and on the weekends, but, you know, Monday through Friday, eating burgers and pizza and going to football games and, you know, just being American, you know, and And you know, for me, I was fortunate to have a lot of friends of different races, and so I had white friends and black friends and Lao friends, and so I didn't feel as, you know, as kind of enclosed in my own ethnic community as much. I felt pretty comfortable in different settings, and so it didn't you know, so growing up wasn't necessarily that tough for me. I think though, at the same time, being Christian, my parents sort of kind of sheltered me from some of the cultural activities because of its link to Buddhism. And so we, you know, growing up, we didn't celebrate Lao New Year. We couldn't go to the temple. We, you know, we couldn't do a lot of some of the social things that the rest of the Lao community was doing, because, you know, in my parents' generation, they were trying to kind of keep themselves, you know, separate from that part of their previous life. And so I did, you know, I do regret some of that. But as an adult, I kind of had a coming back to some of the cultural parts of my childhood that I miss. But yeah.
Yeah, that's great. My last question for you is, what are you most passionate about?
Yeah, I'm really passionate, Sammy, about cross-cultural ministry. I think one, being a recipient of that, you know, coming to the U.S. and having, you know, an American family of volunteers that came alongside my family, you know, across the culture to bring the gospel to my family, and obviously that being the biggest factor, you know, in our life, is the gospel. And so now looking back and having the opportunity to cross cultures to bring the gospel to other you know, communities, it's what I'm passionate about. So God's given me a heart for missions, for the nations, you know, to plant gospel ministries and gospel churches among communities and peoples, you know, that that don't have a church among them, that, you know, where the gospel has not penetrated. So passionate about unreached peoples, about cross-cultural ministry.
That's great. Well, thank you, Ty, for sharing about your wonderful personal story. If you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it, and you can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thanks so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.